right, let's open our Bibles, the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and what we're going to try to do is look at verses 3 through verse 6. Look, 1 Peter is a great book. If you've never done a study through the book of 1 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, you would enjoy it, I really think. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on verse 3, like I said, down to verse 6. I'll try to do it in a good amount of time and not to go too long, let me put it that way. I just want to be able to lay down the truth of the text for you, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would bless you in a mighty way. Let me read our text for today. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father." This is 1 Peter 1 and 3. "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope," or a lively hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." Everybody say inheritance. And this inheritance here is a heavenly inheritance, and that's forever. I mean, you think about that, that's the inheritance we have lasts forever. If you've not been born again, what I'm trying to tell you is you need an inheritance. You need this inheritance. You've got to have it. What we're interested in, and we're interested in a lot of things, but the main thing we're interested in is the salvation of your soul. That's what we're interested in. And we want to see people have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I think that's important for God's people to make, or for people to make sure that they have that. People live for all kinds of different things. Y'all agree? They live for all kinds of different things. And really, the main thing in life is that you have everlasting, eternal life. There's nothing any greater than that. What I want for my grandbabies and what I want for people that's in my family, what I want them to have eternal life. Without eternal life, you don't have anything that's going to last. Without eternal life, you're not going to have anything that's going to last. So we need to have everlasting life, and of course we need to be true in following our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and it's reserved." Where's it reserved at? Reserved in heaven for you. We got a reservation there. "Who are kept," see the word kept? "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly," what? "You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the people here today. Again, and we pray for the people that maybe couldn't make it today because of, they might be going on a trip, and we pray for traveling grace for them. We pray for those that didn't come because of indifference. We want people to come because they want to come, and we pray that for people to come out and be a part of the services. Nothing further. Lord, we pray that you would bless our nation, watch over our nation. The nation's in a mess, and we pray that you would touch the United States, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. All right, I'm just going to call this. I wanted to get a fancy one, but I didn't have enough time to get a fancy one this morning. I've been up in the mountains this week, and I was preaching up in there. But what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to focus on this particular text. I think you'll enjoy it. I've preached from it. Of course, being 40 years of a pastor, I mean, sometimes people say, "Well, you've preached on that before." I reckon. I've been here 40 years. I mean, it's hard to find all kinds of different things. I mean, you try your best to dig and dig and dig and dig, and you have to dig and dig. And when you've been in a church all the time that for 40 years, you really have to dig at times, and sometimes you have to redo things what you did before. But if it's God's word, is it a blessing or is it not? And you're always going to learn and grow from what God's word gives you. And the book of 1 Peter is one of my greatest texts. I really do indeed love it, okay? So he said, blessed, let's go ahead and start. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing he talks about is abundance, abundant mercy. What is mercy? Mercy, you know what mercy is? Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. Beloved, if I got what I deserved, I'd slide right into hell. I don't deserve what God gave me. I don't deserve it. And if you know anything about it at all, you'll understand that same thing is true of you. God bestowed upon an old sinner man like Jeff Arthur, and he bestowed upon me his abundant mercy. And that abundant mercy is so great that it covers all your sin. Covers all your sin. Now, it's important that God's people realize that they have their sins covered. But it's also important that if you're born again, people should see the change in your life. All God's people see it. People should see a change in people's life. I get nervous when people don't change. I think it's great that people make professions of faith, but if it don't change the way they do, it's just something ain't right. So it's important that you trust Christ as your Savior and be thankful for the abundant mercy that He has given unto you. And that's what He's done. Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for mercy? If you're here today and you're a sinner person, He'll give you mercy. And He'll give you an abundant mercy. Enough mercy to cover all your sins. Now, I've told you about that I don't know how many times over the years, but you need to trust Jesus in order to receive the abundant mercy. There's a lot of people that sinner people, and they believe what I'm saying is true, but they've never trusted in His abundant mercy yet. All the different funerals that I've done and still do, but when someone dies, what matters? What matters when someone dies? Do they have abundant mercy? So if I die today, and I could die today, but if I would, mercy. I have abundant mercy to cover my sin. Who give me that mercy? Jesus did. He did. He give me abundant mercy, and that mercy covered, that mercy of Christ covered all my sins. All God's people see it. That's a wonderful thing to have now, I tell you. So I have abundant mercy. I deserved hell. I did. I deserved hell. But God bestowed upon me His mercy. Now, beloved, that's why I love Him so. That's why I love Him so. I'm saved. I'm born again and all that, which is great. But the reason I'm saved is because of His abundant mercy, and He laid that mercy on me one day. At one time, I don't know, the old man used to say it like this, in the councils of eternity past, God said, I love Jeff Arthur. And I'm going to call him, and I'm going to save him, and I'm going to make him my own. And that's exactly what he did. All God's people said. That's a glorious, glorious, glorious thing. So, thank God for abundant what? Abundant mercy. Number two, just stay with me. Blessed be God, according to His abundant mercy, He's begotten us into a living hope. What's a living hope? Well, the opposite of it would be a dead hope. When someone dies without Jesus, they don't have any hope. Do you see what I'm saying? They don't have no hope if they die without Jesus. There's nothing that can be done if someone dies without Jesus. Once they're gone, it's gone. People live for all these goofy things of life. They live for all the material things of the world. All they care about is carnal things, living in sin, and all these different kinds of things that people do. Man, it's awful. It's not good. So, he's bestowed upon us his what? He's bestowed upon us his abundant mercy. I know you think my nose is too big for this napkin, but I know you was thinking that, wasn't you, Jay? But anyhow, it'll work. So, first point is abundant mercy. And you need it. If you've never trusted Jesus, you need it. And if you've trusted Jesus, you need to thank him for the mercy that he gives you. After you're born again, I want you to hear this. After you're born again, there's a walk with Jesus. Y'all agree? After you're born again, there's a walk with him. And we are to walk with him. Not literally walk together, but it means we have a life we live after we're born again. And the Bible says that God's people, once they're born again, they're to be sober, they're to walk sober, and they're to walk righteous and godly in the present world. And that's true of everybody. Hey, that's true of everybody that's born again. So it's important that if you have his abundant mercy and you've been born again, it should show. Let's say it together. It should show. You should be able to tell it. There'll be a change of conduct in people's lives when they're born again. There will be a change. There must be. There must be a change. You say, well, Jeff, you're not saved by your works. That's true. You're saved by grace. That's true. But those saved by grace seek to follow Jesus wherever he goes. All God's people say it. They seek to serve him and live, listen to me, and live sober. Live sober and godly in this present world. All God's people say it. All right, let me move on. Stay with me now. So we have an abundant mercy, and we've been begotten again. I hope everybody in here tonight or this morning has been begotten again. What's the matter with people? What's the matter with people? What's the matter with them? You're going to spend forever somewhere. You're going to spend forever somewhere. So, if you haven't trusted Jesus, well, I believe that there's a God. That's not enough to get you there. You got to trust Jesus. You got to ask him to save you. That old thief on the cross, man, when he was dying on the cross, there wasn't a whole lot he could do. He couldn't get baptized, could he? I'm pretty sure he didn't drop him over in the water there anywhere while he was on the cross, do you think? There wasn't no way he could be baptized that day. He couldn't be saved by his good deeds, for crying out loud, he was a thief. What he was getting was what he deserved, and the thief said that. You know what happened? Old Mount Zion conviction got a hold of his heart, and it changed him. It changed him. And it touched his heart, and he realized that he needed that salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. All right. So we have an inheritance here in verse 4, and this inheritance is a heavenly inheritance, verse 4. And this inheritance is incorruptible. It's incorruptible. It's sin-proof. Basically, it's a sin. What we get in salvation is sin-proof. It really is. It's a great thing. It's undefiled. It's not defiled by sin. It don't fade away. You see, what I have in salvation is eternal life. So that's why it don't fade away. It's eternal life. I have eternal life right now. The only thing I haven't got yet, what do I have yet? I ain't got my new body yet. This one's about to wear me out, I guess. But we wear them down after a bit of time. Yeah, we all are. My birthday coat, I thought I was 50, I think. But anyhow, I was 60. I didn't realize I was 60. I'm getting old, I guess. And the average lifespan, is 70 years. When people used to talk about that three score and ten, I used to think, man, that's like 10,000 years. Not now, boy. I want to finish well. If everybody say that together, I want to finish well. And I want that for all God's people. I want them to finish good. I want them to run over the goal line, so to speak, and bring glory and honor and praise to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be having our inheritance. Do you have a heavenly inheritance? This is my question to you today. Do you have a heavenly inheritance today? I hope you do. Do you have a reservation in heaven today? Do you have it? If you die today, would you go off to be with Jesus? I hope so. This inheritance we had, as it says, is incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away, and it's reserved for you. See? When I go out to eat, I like to get them reservations because I don't like stand-in line. I don't get a whole lot of them like that, but anyhow, you got restaurants like that. And you have a reserved seat. You just get to walk in and sit down. I like that. And then eat. Well, beloved, I got a reservation in glory, and I plan on going there. I don't know when I'm going there, but I know I'm going there. How can you live a life on this earth without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days? Man, if you ain't got heaven, then you'll die without Jesus. Funerals that I've done over the years, it's just been unbelievable, especially in the past 3 years. Just been unbelievable. What matters when somebody dies? Were they saved? The first thing I ask them is, I say, if it's somebody I don't know, and I do a lot of them where I don't know, and I'll go, well, did this man know Jesus? Did this woman, was she a Christian person? Did they know Jesus? Because that determines how you preach it. There's some things you can't even, I don't know what to say. Oh, I know what to say, but I know that it's not going to be what they want to hear. Because you know what? Usually when you're talking to somebody at a funeral and things, and many times it's somebody's family and all these things, and I've got behind the scenes and said, now, did this person know the Lord? And they said, no, Jeff, he didn't. No, he didn't. Man, that's a difficult task. What in the world do you do? What in the world do you do? You know what I do? I preach to their people. That's what I can't. You can't preach to the dead, but you can preach to the living. And boy, I bring her down with both. Now, there's some of them that don't like me because of it. They really don't. Some people don't want to be preached at, but that's okay. They can get mad at me all they want to. I've told them before, I said, I've been thrown out of better places than this before. You know what I mean? That don't bother me a bit. A man of God needs to give a warning to those who don't know Jesus. Oh, beloved, one time I was, I don't know what I was thinking. Dumbest thing I ever done in my life. There's a boy that I knew, and I've been working on him. Yeah, working on him, you know. And I thought, well, I'm going to wait here just a little bit, and then I'm going to really go in and lay it on him. You know what happened? He died before I got there. And I lollygagged around like that, and I, instead of putting a number one priority, like an emergency, we need to get this thing done, didn't do it. Man, about cried my eyes out over that. I realize that the Lord's, God's sheep's not going to be lost. But at the same time, we have an obligation to tell sinner people about Jesus. All God's people say it. God's people need to have a walk with Jesus too. Do y'all think? God's people also need to have a walk with Jesus. People should know that you're born again, and people should know that you're walking with the Lord. Or people won't listen to you. They won't listen to you. That what you say don't mean nothing. That's why God's Word says we live sober, righteous, and godly. I'm going to pick up a pace now, which don't mean nothing either. I'm just teaching. Let's go back now to our text, and we'll work our way down, and we'll stop. All right, verse 5. Now, one of the reasons I'm a Baptist, by conviction. And one of the reasons why I'm a Baptist is because of 1 Peter 1. Now, I can give you a lot more. I'm just going to give you one because I'm not going to leave off this text. It says who are kept by the power, of God. You're kept. God keeps you. Did y'all realize when he saves you? Listen to me now. When he saves you, he keeps you. And if you trail off the way, that's a dangerous place to be. I want to tell you something about the Lord. You know what? I've told you this before. I'm scared to death of the Lord. I'm scared to death of him. I'm afraid of what he might do. Do you? It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. If you belong to Jesus as your Savior, people should be able to see it. All God's people see it. It's important. It's important. So we're kept by whose power? Or we're kept by His power. Bad, I'm glad it don't say I'm kept by the power of Jeff, ain't you? I'm kept by the power of God. He keeps me. And every now and again, the Lord will give you, I hate to say this, I'm going to say it anyway. The Lord will give you a good swift kick in the pants every now and again. That's what you need. And I have a fear of my God. I've told you, I'm scared to death of the Lord. I love Him so. But He won't put up with some things. And have you ever got a whipping by Jesus? Has He ever took you to the woodshed before? Man, it's a... All right. We're kept. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. God don't throw you away. Larry Eccles, God don't throw you away. Now, he may tan your hide, but He won't throw you away. Scripture says that I will no wise cast you out. Boy, he'll straighten you up, though. If you've ever been straightened up by Jesus, raise your right hand. Man, he'll straighten you right up. You know why he does that, don't you? Because he loves you. And he wants you to walk right. Because he loves you. All right. I'm going to start to wind up. 5 and 6, and we'll close. Y'all like this text? This is a beautiful little text. It's hard to mess that up. You can just read it and it'd be great. Okay? It says, who are kept by the power of God, we're kept by his power. Who keeps us? God keeps us. Who keeps us? God keeps us. We're kept by his power. How powerful is God? How powerful is him? He has all power. So he keeps us. Aren't you glad God keeps you? You think you'd make it if God didn't keep you? A lot of people think, we seek to keep ourselves, but God ultimately is the one that keeps you. So we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There'll be a day when Jesus, see the word says the last time. Now, beloved, I want to tell you something. We're in the last days right now. Right now, we're in the last days. We're in the latter stages of the last days. We're in the latter stages of it. I mean, the trumpet could sound right now and we're out of here. Either that's going to happen or death's going to come. You got to be ready for either one of those. You got to be ready for either one of those. It's important that you have it. God keep, it says, who are kept by his power. God's my keeper. Am I saying that God keeps us saved? Look up here at me. Exactly what I'm telling you. He's your keeper. If he didn't keep you, you wouldn't make it. He's your keeper. He's your keeper. So we're kept by his power. God has all power. God is omnipotent, so he can keep you. No problem with his power. He will keep you. Now, if he has to tan your hide, that's exactly what else he'll do. That's all part of keeping. He'll do either one. I've told you this a million times over the years, but I'm going to say it again. I probably said it this morning. But I fear God. I have a fear of him. I love him so, but I do have a fear, a great fear of him. All right, let's close now. It says salvation is ready to be revealed in the last day. That's when Jesus comes again. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Can I ask you a question, church? Do you rejoice in Jesus? It says greatly rejoice. It seemed like it'd just be enough to say rejoice, but it says greatly rejoice. God's people have a reason to greatly rejoice. If Jesus would come right now, if I die today, I'm ready to go. I'm going up. And I'm going to get to see my loved ones that died without Jesus. I'm going to see my loved ones that died in Jesus. I'm going to see them all again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We sing that song, What a Day That'll Be. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And he keeps us. He keeps us. He's my keeper. And, buddy, he'll keep you all right. You ever have the Lord keep you? Yeah, he keeps you. Again, aren't you glad God keeps you? Aren't you glad God whips you? But you know, I'm going to close with this. But I want you to hear this. I've told you a million times I'm scared of the Lord. Have I told you that? I've told you that today, didn't I? I fear him. I fear his chastening. I fear his chastening rod. I fear it. I think everybody here in the congregation fears it, just knows Jesus. It's a fearful thing to not be where you're supposed to be. Notice what it says. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. If you're kept by God's power, you don't lose your salvation. That's one of the strongest eternal security texts they are. You're kept by the power of God. It doesn't say I'm kept by the power of Jeff. God keeps me. Now, sometimes he'll tan your hide, but he'll still keep you. He'll still keep you. And here's the very last part. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. I hope the Lord blessed you today. I hope you know him. I hope you've trusted him as your Savior. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to do that. I hope you rejoice in the text when you go home today to read 1 Peter 1 and 3 through 6, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. It'll strengthen you up. Let's all stand together.